Our gospel reading for today comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 20. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Others said, "He is Elijah." And still others claimed, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago." But when Herod heard this, he said, "John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead." For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. This is the word of God for all of us, the children of God. Now, what do you think of when you even hear the word perfect? What about when you measure your life against this idea, this goal we have about perfection? Think about it in terms of you, your own personal life, and then bring it to the church. How do you think perfection plays a part in our church life? How we as individuals approach worship, come to worship, do everything we do, all the volunteer roles people have, but also in how we as Christians try to mash up this idea of being perfect along with our walk with Christ and pursuing Him. It's a bit of a conflicted idea. It's really a sore spot, I would say, in how we treat God, how we view each other, but especially in how we as Christians are viewed by the world around us. And I came across the results of a survey about the most common perception of present-day Christians, and 87% of folks answered that they thought Christians were judgmental. This came from a book titled Unchristian by David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons. But that's a remarkable number, and if maybe you've talked to some folks who are not church or haven't been in a long time, it may not be a surprising one. I know for me it isn't, that I can remember in college when I was a part of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, there was one revealing and interesting thing we did. We set up a station in our student center. This is at the University of Delaware. And we asked people to write down what they thought of the church, of Christians, and this whole idea of judgment, being judgmental, looking down on folks. It came up in a lot of different ways. So really, this idea of perfection is something that's plaguing, hurting us in so many ways, as individual followers of Jesus and as a church itself. And it's something that we can do something about, that we need to do something about for our sake and for the sake of the world around us and our mission to them. The first thing we have to do is confront it. That's why I titled this sermon, A for Effort, because in thinking about perfection, that was one of the first phrases that came to mind as one of those sayings, those ways we, well, not really deal with this, sort of blow it off and accept things as they are, that we'll say, "Oh, A for effort, we tried, we did our best," and leave it at that. But here in today's gospel reading, we have two examples of, I would say, perfect living. One supposedly so, and one closer to the mark. At first, we have Herod, and the life he lived, and the perception of himself that he shaped for his sake, but really for the sake of those around him, was all about keeping up appearances, keeping his world running smoothly, the people who needed to be happy, to keep them happy, to make sure nothing was disrupted in his life. That he had abundance, he had wealth, he had power, he had all these things that folks back then and today envied, reached for, not often getting it. But Herod represents an outward pursuit of perfect living, making sure everything was as it needed to be. And you see in his treatment of John the Baptist, how he treated and reacted to his brother's wife, that for Herod to keep and maintain all he had, he had to make sure he was in control and power, that everything looked perfectly fine. Does that sound familiar to any of us? And for me, it hits a bit too close to home, that even here in the church and as the church, when I think of perfection, that's how I live it out, how I see it too often lived out. That we think we have to make sure everything is perfect, or at least make it appear so. Put a smile on our face, look good, look right, look put together, that we could have a storm, all kinds of trials and hardships happening to us, going on inside of us. But too often we regulate living perfectly, living good, even living as a good Christian, as being about making sure everything seems and looks okay. But next, the other example of perfect living we have is in John the Baptist, a man who in so many ways was the opposite of Herod. And if you remember, have ever heard descriptions of John the Baptist, you'll know right away, keeping up appearances, making himself look normal, okay, acceptable by the world around him. If it wasn't at the bottom of his list, it was, well, very, very low. That he was a man who lived in the wilderness, lived by it, and certainly looked like it. He wasn't focused on keeping up appearances or on what others thought of him. His focus, his being, his everything was solely on his ministry, the God-given purpose he was blessed with, and living it out, fulfilling it, living into it. That his way of trying to live perfect, if we want to call it that, was focused inwardly. It was on a state of being, making sure he was living right with God, living into the ministry that he was called into more than anything else. And today, that is the message I believe we can take away from this gospel reading, that Christ is calling us to authentically pursue a different way of life than the rest of the world. And there's no need for a good show or to put on an act for anyone, let alone God. And many of the storms, trials, and tribulations we have inside of us, well, if someone here around us right now isn't experiencing it, they probably have, or they certainly will. And we're not immune to the world around us, but we don't have to live by its standards. We don't have to measure the quality of our life by what we have, what new things we have, where we live, what we do. That our rightness with Christ, the quality of our life, is measured by how much and how often we are following Christ. And that doesn't mean saying or pretending everything is all right and good, that we can authentically and fully live into our faith, be with Christ, when we're not smiling, when we're troubled, when we're confused and worried, even when we're hurting. I've come across too many people who believe if they're angry or upset that they're not, well, being a faithful Christian, that they've somehow left it behind or fallen off the wagon, that they even feel so terrible and guilty that they want to, well, say angry things to God. They want to say, well, words that voice their frustrations, their hurt, and their pain, and they feel like they can't because they feel like that's wrong. But it's what Christ wants. It's what God wants for us to be authentic, honest, genuine, to be what may be going on inside of us. Because God knows. Scripture says that God knows us before we were born, knows our lives, what we live, what we do, what we say. That this isn't about, well, revealing these things to God. but bringing Him more fully into our lives as we're living them. It's about being vulnerable to let God do the work that God can do through His Spirit without barrier, without restriction. And these are all things that we won't master right away. That as often as we try to live perfectly, this is going to be a way of doing things, a way of being, we'll have to grow into slowly. But in talking about trying, I was drawn immediately to the wise words of one of the prophets that I grew up with, and that's the Jedi Master Yoda, who, if you've seen the movie, which I hope and I'm sure many of you have, he says, "Do or do not, there is no try." This happens after Luke Skywalker, the hero of the movie, tries to do something that he thinks is impossible, which Yoda does quite easily through the power of the Force. But that statement, "do or do not, there is no try," that's a tough order for any of us. And I've had a hard time hearing that my whole life, from a little Jedi in training to an older one now. Because we try to be so much in this vain pursuit of appearing perfect or living up to that standard of perfection that we have in our minds and that's pushed upon us. That we spend too much of our lives trying and trying and trying to be what we think others expect us to be, want us to be. That we think there's this bar set so high in all aspects of our life, even with God, that this creates a loop, a recurring cycle of falsehood, of guilt, and feeling inadequate in ourselves that hurts us and holds us back in so many relationships, especially the relationship we can and we should have with God. And that this calling to live faithfully is not about a specific result. We know how the story ends. We know where our story ends if our hearts are with Christ. We've confessed and given over our lives to Him. It's about living fully and presently into God's grace wherever we find ourselves. At this whole idea, philosophy of do or do not, there is no try, was revealed to me by, well, watching a Star Wars cartoon. We haven't had any movies in quite a long time, so us Star Wars fans, we get our fix where we can. And it was at the end of this episode where a Jedi in hiding comes across a new pupil, someone to be trained. And he spends this whole episode trying to, well, give this kid's training over to someone he thinks would be far better at it. And when that doesn't happen, he stops and talks to this teenager. And he says, "You know what? I'm going to stop trying to be your teacher, and I'm going to teach you." That's what Christ is inviting us into. Not to try and be perfect, but live perfectly with Him. Be in relationship and communication with Christ exactly how we need, regardless of what's going on around us. If it's a happy time, to be happy with Him. If it's a sad time, to give Christ our tears and our anger. That our faith is not measured by the circumstances of our life, but how we let Christ walk with us in the midst of it. But still, this idea of perfection, there is a place for it in our faith. At the co-founder of the Methodist movement, our denomination, who we are, John Wesley, he had a lot to say about this idea of Christian perfection. He preached sermons on it. He even wrote a short book on it. It's called A Plain Account of Christian Perfection. And according to John Wesley, Christian perfection is a purity of intention, dedicating all life to God. And it's the mind which was in Christ, enabling us to walk as Christ walked. And it is loving God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. And lastly, he says that Christian perfection is being filled with the fullness of God. And in all those statements, we hear talk of the connection, the relationship, how we are, how things are between Christ and us, how we interact with Him, how we open ourselves up to Him. And that has led to another say, one I offer up to you and I try to instill in myself as a replacement for A for effort. And in the Methodist tradition, we have a saying, it's to be on our way to perfection. And it's a different spin on this idea of pursuing who we are meant to be. But again, it's not based on results. It's not based on figures, anything we can concretely or specifically measure. But it's a reminder that perfection is out there. But it's not by our strength, our means, how good we are. But it's in and through and by Christ. And that our lives can truly be a mess, be a wreck. We cannot know which way forward or through right now, but still, Christ is there with us. And we can fully be with Him. Our hearts can be full of Him. How we relate and reach out to others can be based on and through Him. And that's our goal. Our goal is not to live without sin, without messing up, doing or saying anything wrong, because that's bound to happen. Wesley himself admitted that. We're still the people we are, on our way to something greater, getting in touch with it right now. But we all mess up in different sizes and ways. But our goal is to live our life as Christ taught us to be full of Him, full enough that we can share it with others. Our goal, to bring it back to today's reading, is to strive to be like John. Are you ready to break out the camel hair outfit and eat locusts coated with honey? Probably not. But we can live by the ideals that John put forth. He lived out. Because John the Baptist, his life was a reversal of what the world says, what it would have us believe. That John's standards of a good life, a successful life, flew in the face of back then and today. Think, how would you react to seeing John? Seeing the great and incredible things he did, it's a lesson in trust and faith. Where we put it and where we see God, how we see God in others. But as Herod flailed and tried, did horrible things, all kinds of superficial, hollow acts, just to keep up appearances, John shows us that we are meant and we can walk with Christ and trust in Him alone as the source of all our being and all that we need. That in reality, perfection can look pretty messy. But as long as we know Christ, welcome Him in fully, without barrier, without pretense, we can live life with joy and with peace, knowing that He's here with us now. He is here with us in all things, through all things, until we join Him in that perfect heavenly realm, until that day He returns again to restore this world around us to the perfection that it was intended to be full of. Right now, may we be on our way to perfection for the sake of ourselves, the sake of our church, and the sake of the world around us, looking not for people who have it all together, but the people who know a love that is greater, a way that is different. And may we invite them in as John did, simply by who we are and how we live. May we go not to achieve it by ourselves, but through, with, full of God inside of us, before us, in front of us.